Howdy, friends. How are you doing this day? I want to extend to you a thanks for the growing viewership since we've began this podcast, addedsouls.com. We, of course, are powered by the Spencer Church of Christ in Wisconsin. My name is Stéphane Maillet, your audio and video servant for this session, and I am most thankful to the elders at the Spencer Church of Christ in Wisconsin for encouraging this work. And I'm also thankful for the deacons and the many members of the Lord's body in that congregation who encourage this work. I am most thankful to all of you, the viewers out there who tune in every day to participate with me in a study. It is greatly encouraging, and it is a good thing that we are doing regarding our faith. We are knocking digital doors. We want to reach the faithless. We want to renew the fallen, and we want to reinforce the faithful. And yes, most certainly that does preach, doesn't it? That is, of course, is the three-point theme and plan that we have here at the addedsouls.com ministry. And today, at this time, in this session, through many requests made throughout the past weeks, we bring to you the title of the day, MDRABR. Marriage, Divorce, Remarriage, A Bible Response. A Bible Response. There's a lot of confusion and doubt and misleading voices out there, whether it be from religious talkheads or it be from community standards or cultural endeavors regarding marriage, divorce, and remarriage. But what we want to do in this episode of great importance is to see a Bible response. What does God, His Son, His Spirit, have to say regarding marriage, divorce, and remarriage? I think it is important that we follow the standard and judgment of the author of life and not turn to mere creation that has made a great perversion of a wonderful law. And so, we begin our session, this episode, this broadcast, in establishing the foundation of scriptural truth by the law of creation and its function, its nature, which was set and determined from the very beginning, birthed from the mind of God. These Genesis laws found within the first few chapters are immovable. They are solid and trustworthy. The only way any of these laws can be altered is by God giving us an exception to His rule. Now, the law of creation and its function, its nature, came prior to the patriarchs. It came prior to Moses and the commandments therein. These laws are to be set and settled for all time, and the only way one can break them is with a God-ordered exception. Are you following along, friends? Stick with me here. The law of creation and its function, its nature, is what God made in the beginning and intended to be forevermore time while earth existed. We need to respect this immovable fact. And within the impenetrable truth, we find the law of man and woman becoming husband and wife, one flesh. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, we see what is compatible, what is suitable, what is complementary. And in verses 21 through 24, we see how two leave four and become one. husband and wife. And now I quote from the scriptures, chapter 2, Genesis, verse 18. Then the Lord God said, thus saith the Lord, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable, compatible for him. And in verse 21, so the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. And in verse 22, the Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man, and brought her to the man. And in verse 23, the man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Woman, man. For this reason, verse 24, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Ho, ho, ho. The supernatural source of pattern has designed an intelligent union which no man should separate. And from this recorded account, we find a foundation in which we can always go to in order to know what God intended for mankind from the very beginning. Now, mankind made a mess of this law throughout the ages, and you can read about all of that in the pages of the Old Testament regarding divorce and polygamy. Things that God never wanted for mankind, but yet suffered it in a regulatory fashion because of their wickedness. Illustration, if you will. Don't drink alcohol. Don't drink alcohol. God-fearing believers do not consume intoxicating drinks for the purpose of worldly, fleshly endeavors. They just don't do it. But you're going to do it anyways because you're a wicked and rebellious nation. And so, don't drive when you do it. See, the law is don't drink. But you're rebellious against God and you're going to drink. So here's a regulation to this in reaction. Don't drive. Now, this long suffering from God was only extended to the days of the old covenant because Jesus had not come yet. You see, once Christ came with a more mature covenant, God would no longer tolerate such foolishness because there's no excuse for it now. We have the perfect law of liberty. They had Christ on earth, and we have his words written for us to instruct us. Hence, I quote, truly, these times of ignorance God suffered, speaking of the days in which the perfect law of Christ had not yet come. But now, God says, in this current stewardship of time, this age moving forward, well, God commands all men everywhere. It don't matter what language you speak, which skin color you have, or which geographical location you inhabit. All men everywhere are to repent. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. And so, we ask the Bible, shouldn't we? As honest students of the scriptures, we ask the Bible and say, God, when did this new age begin, which is now declared by Paul, your servant, in Acts chapter 17, verse 30? And he replies, of course, go look at the words of my spirit found in the Bible, specifically Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17 and verse 23 and chapter 28 of verse 20, and you shall gain insight and accuracy to this very question. You see, if we move ourselves over in the scriptures here to that very piece of passage, let me open up Matthew here. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. From that time Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And in verse 23, very important verse, Jesus was going throughout all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, and, pay attention now, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. And when we find ourselves at the end of the gospel, Matthew's gospel, chapter 28, the entirety of our Lord and Master's ministry is summed up into the education of inspired writ. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying in chapter 28, beginning in verse 18, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, immersing them, baptizing them," baptizo, to dip, to plunge, "in the name of," with the authority of, "the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And here it is, pay attention, verse 20, "teaching them to observe all that I commanded you." All that I commanded you. "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age." And sure enough, wouldn't you know it, we find here that Jesus was recorded coming on the scene with his ministry, commanding all men to repent, proclaiming the gospel of his kingdom, and finishing his ministry, reminding us to remember and practice everything he commanded while on earth. Friends, there is information, instruction, guidance, example, and command given by Christ, which is further revealed in the pages moving forward, applying to all mankind everywhere. And to think somehow marriage, divorce, and remarriage is going to be any different is simply unwise. To think that the law which Christ will bring us into remembrance from the Father has somehow vanished from our accountability is foolishness. And so all attempts mankind has tried to administer throughout the ages are simply useless. Three recorded accounts. Follow along. Please remain here with us. Three recorded accounts in which Christ reiterates the law of creation and function his Father patterned from the very beginning. The law which must be respected and obeyed between man and woman, male and female, husband and wife. All other connections are perverted. They are corrupted. We first begin, as we transition to the information, scripturally speaking, of marriage, divorce, and remarriage, a Bible response, we go into the book of Matthew, to which we find ourselves in, looking at the beginning and ending of the ministry here. But now we open the pages therein, and we see what Jesus says. Chapter 5, the first area in which we go into here together, Matthew chapter 5, verses 31 and 32, and I quote, Jesus saying, "It was said, whoever sends his wife away, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you," in verse 32, "that everyone who divorces his wife, except for the reason of fornication, makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery." It's important for us to understand what's taking place here. "It was said," Jesus' recorded words, verse 31, Matthew chapter 5, it was said. What Jesus is saying is that mankind and their rebellion against God's law declared that whoever sends his wife away, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But Jesus says, but I say to you, verse 32, this is God the Son, deity walking on earth, the prophesied coming king, the ruler, the prophet, priest, Jesus Christ, the anointed Messiah. He is saying to you, everyone who divorces his wife, except for the reason of fornication, which is the physical act of sexual intercourse, makes her commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Christ is saying simply in his format here that if you divorce your wife for any other reason than the exception to the rule, an example, this exception being fornication, she's been having an unrepentant affair, okay? So any other reason than the exception to the rule influences her towards adultery. And so when whoever marries this same divorced woman is guilty of adultery. And we know that the New Testament law of Christ, the justice therein, the standard of judgment, plainly declares that no human being on earth can go to heaven one day as an adulterer. It don't matter what your pastor, your priest, your family members, your friends, your neighbors, your co-workers have to say about it. It don't matter. The truth is the truth. Can you handle the truth? Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Don't allow the world and those you've put trust in the world manipulate and fraud your mind into a path that leads to destruction, lies, and eternal waste. Neither the sexually immoral, the sensual, the perverse, the lascivious, the sexy, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Paul's words, inspired into all truth, guided into all truth, supervised by God, speaking to the Christians in Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through and 10. And so with this, we transition to our other scriptural location, and such is found in the same gospel, Matthew chapter 19. And we begin the first section of this account here, verses 3, 4, 5, and 6, and I quote, Pharisees came to Jesus, testing him and asking, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason at all? And he answered and said, have you not read that he who created from the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Doesn't that sound familiar, friends? Verse 6, so they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. Okay, you see this context here. What's taking place is that the Pharisees came to Jesus. They purposely desired in their minds to find him guilty. And so they test him. And they did this in order to find him in a contradiction, in a fault. They wanted to pick and choose Bible verses out of context, of course, that was going to benefit their agenda and demonize Christ. Now, in their hypocritical blindness, they reject God's law of creation and function and nature recorded in Genesis, and so now find themselves, these Pharisees, clinging to Moses as a source of authority. Here's an interesting excursion from this text. The book of Hebrews was written as a sermon rebuking the Jews into accepting Christ as being more important than the angels, the messengers, the patriarchs, and wouldn't you know it, Moses. Simply saying, why are you going to Moses for authority? Don't you know that God the Father, his Son, are the ones in whom you go to for authority and law? Yet just like a rebellious religious person in today's age who denies gospel obedience, trying to test the law of Christ while using the account of the thief on the cross out of context, God responds with righteous hermeneutical authority, and he destroys their hypocrisy by simply stating, whoever believes and is immersed, baptized, baptizo, plunged, dipped, shall be saved. Christ has more authority than a thief. And you don't want to die like a thief on a cross. What you would rather do is be born again of water and the Spirit, as commanded by our Lord and Master Jesus Christ in John chapter 3, verse 3 and 5. But back from our excursion here, back to the text in Matthew chapter 19, the Pharisees refuse to see that Jesus is the Son of God. He's the walking Bible among them. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Now, this is extremely important since Christ will bring these vipers, influenced by the serpent of old, back to the beginning in order to answer their dishonest hearts. Jesus, of course, in perfect form, wisdom, and authority, says to them, these Pharisees who are trying to test them, he's telling them, have you not read? Jesus appeals to the law of his Father set forth from the very beginning, prior to Moses, with more authority than Moses, that a man and a woman have the choice to become husband and wife, but this choice has great consequence and responsibility. For what was once two individuals have now become one flesh. And what is united in union, one household, is not to be divided. For God is the source in which united this union. If we simply follow the instructions of our Lord and Master, he will heal this nation from divorce. He will heal and bless the household. The Pharisees, of course, predictably, continue in their rebellion. What should have brought them into repentance, if they would have simply paid attention to what Christ was saying in verse 4, 5, and 6, but no, of course not. Here we are in verse 7, and still they cling to Moses to find fault in Jesus. And I quote, they said to him, when then did Moses command to give her a certificate of divorce and send her away? Oh, they think they're so wise. Of course, Jesus replies their misguided ways with verse 8 and 9. And I quote, because of your hardness of heart, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives. Moses permitted you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it has not been this way. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for immorality, which is the act of the word porneia, fornication, and marries another woman, commits adultery. And so, we see the unfolding of this interaction between the world and those who walk according to the world's ways, confronting the great Maker, his Son, and those who have created all things and have all authority. You see, he replies to them in this way, because the reason Moses suffered divorce was because of their hardness of heart. He's telling them, you were so wicked that regulations had to be administered from it. But this was not the way God the Father intended his law to be from the beginning. His law was to remain intact for all mankind forevermore time. And so, Jesus, the source of authority, law, justice, and power, says to them, whoever, whether believer or non-believer, divorces his wife except for fornication, the physical sexual act of intercourse, an unrepentant affair, and marries another woman, commits adultery. They were clinging to a man. God is telling them, you need to find your source of authority in God. This law that God created from the beginning was prior to Moses. This law is administered by God for all mankind, and anyone telling you otherwise is lying to you. And though it may cost me much persecution and discouragement to share this very truth with you, I love you too much to say otherwise. I refuse to be put into the world's eye. I seek to please God and not men, you see. And because this law is so serious in eternal weight, Jesus' disciples recognize the consequence of this union being dissolved, and they reply accordingly, well, if that's the case, it's better to remain single than to get married and divorced. We read this in verse 10. The disciples said to him, if the relationship of the man with his wife is like this, it's better not to marry. But he said to them, verse 11 and 12, not all men can accept this statement, but those to whom it has been given. For there are eunuchs who were born that way from their mother's womb, and there are eunuchs who were made eunuchs by men. And there are also eunuchs who made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. He who is able to accept this, let him accept it. Jesus replies to their knee-jerk reaction, and he says, in other words, it's easier for you, for some of you, to remain single than others, okay? Some are simply born without the need to marry. However, some are made single through the sin of another when divorce occurs. And some, because of their divorce, choose to remain single and faithful to the kingdom. It's a hard and serious law. But that's just how much spiritual investment God put into this union, you see. In God's eyes, no man is to separate what he has put together. So by all means, if you can respect this law of marriage and abide by it, be blessed and multiply. If not, remain single and keep your mind away from young lust. And can't we see the beauty of God's inspired power and wisdom when he attaches illustration to the marriage union regarding his church? The church is not to be divided into all these kinds of denominations. We are to be united in the same loving faith and doctrine. There should be no adultery. God's people, Christians, citizens of his kingdom, his church, should not go outside into another woman's bed, another church, and seek other things. Small excursion there. We transition and we move forward to the third scriptural location found in Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. In Luke chapter 16, verses 16 through 18, I quote, "The law and the prophets were proclaimed until John. Since that time, the gospel of the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is forcing his way into it. But it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one stroke of a letter of the law to fail." Pay attention now, verse 18, "Everyone who divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery. And he who marries one who is divorced from a husband commits adultery." Friends, the law and the prophets were proclaimed until John. Since that time, the good news of the kingdom of God is being preached. Anyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery. And the man who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. It's pretty self-explanatory, isn't it? It's pretty simple. It's just, it's true, it's reality. And when rightly divided with the other recorded accounts of Christ in the Gospel of Matthew, we can see God's plan for mankind regarding the matter of marriage, divorce, and remarriage. There is but one single exception to the rule. When an unrepentant spouse refuses to have an ongoing affair, there may be permission for a divorce. We need to fear God again and respect this law. He will heal this nation from all the divorce, all the children who no longer have a united home, all the destruction that comes about from these separations. God will heal us. He will bless us if we once again turn towards Him and abide by His instructions. And friends, listen to me. All the what-ifs in this world will not change this law of creation and function. All the what-ifs of this world won't change God's nature on the matter. And though some obscure and remote experience may be found out there somewhere in the far corners of the earth, only the Word of God can judge the inner hearts of men. And so, when the stories of physical abuse are made public, it is wise to remove oneself from such a destructive union. Agreed. However, it must be done with the understanding and consequence of the aftermath. When the smoke clears, there's some understanding that needs to be taken place here. And so when Christians are asked about this very topic, marriage, divorce, and remarriage, they must remain with a Bible response. They must remain faithful to the inspired God-breathed law of Christ found in His new covenant. When we wish to know about salvation, we go to the verses where the question is asked, "What must I do?" When we want to know about marriage, divorce, and remarriage, that's right, we must go to the verses where the question is being asked. And we did. Any and all other verses you may find in the Bible will not contradict God the Father and His Son in the accounts we've quoted to you this very session. You cannot erase gospel obedience by going to the account of the thief on the cross. Mark 16:16 is not erased from the Bible because of the account of the thief on the cross, and in like manner, nor can it be found in any other exception to the rule regarding marriage, divorce, and remarriage than fornication. And so, please pay attention. Nothing, absolutely nothing that Paul or the other apostles have written in their letters, their epistles, contradict what God and His Son have set forth regarding this matter. Which means you must revisit their accounts with the mind of Christ and purpose therein. To a law that was set in motion, birthed from the mind of God, from the very beginning, prior to any man. Paul never said one can remain in an adulterous union. Paul never broke the law of marriage God set forth from the beginning for any situational ethic. Paul never declared authority over his master with the agenda to lessen the consequence of two becoming one. What Paul is teaching the Corinthians never once contradicts Jesus' law regarding marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Paul is simply stating that if you are found in a union as a faithful Christian to an unfaithful spouse or unbelieving spouse, that you are to remain in that union. Or if you come to Christ as a single person and wish to remain single, by all means do so. And perhaps in times of turmoil where government hostility will try to hurt your spouse to have you deny Christ, remaining single isn't such a bad choice after all. Friends, this law, once again, is for all mankind. And no amount of water can wash away an unrepentant, adulterous sin. Key word, unrepentant. If repentance does not take place, separation, which is of course the separation of the adulterous union, meaning no longer living together, no longer fornicating, then the only thing water will be doing is getting you wet. You need to drill this into your mind. And God is well aware of the consequences that come when an adulterous union must be dissolved. We see such an account in Ezra chapter 10 regarding unions which had children. And though very difficult and challenging, no doubt, Christians are to be there for each other when one of our own repents of an adulterous marriage which involved children. We must be courageous and strong in these times. Together, united, we can conquer, we can persevere these moments in our lives. This life, friends, is but a vapor, and nothing in it is worth losing our souls over. And so, we can rest assured that what God teaches and commands regarding the union made between a man and a woman is to be respected and obeyed, or eternal consequences will be administered. There's just no way around it, friends. We pray that this podcast session will help you in your faith. We cannot deny the truth. And I refuse to soften the eternal consequence in order to please men. God is good always. His mercy and judgment are paramount. This is the AddedSouls.com podcast, powered by the Spencer Church of Christ in Wisconsin. Stefan Maye here, your audio and video servant. Stay positive, stay focused, and we shall meet again here next time, Lord willing, and God bless.